Really hoping to see everybody at the picnic at Clater Lake this afternoon. First, as we start off that time, Deanne's got some things that she wants to share with you. So think about that really hard, make her really nervous before. No, as many of you know, Deanne's in many ways not the speaker of the family. But I will let you know she oftentimes is the instigator of things that I do. She thinks them up and I do them, and she says, no, I was just talking about it. And I was like, too late. You guys may think she's just quiet and she thinks up some good things that are really fun to do. My children and I have always participated when she comes up with a good idea, and she's always unthankful that we do. But she's going to share some things about what she learned during the sabbatical and some things, and I just want to give you two words to think about what she's going to share. She's going to share about thin place. Thin place. So I just want to plant that seed. And for what I'm going to share, I want to plant a seed for you for a scripture to look at this afternoon if you have an opportunity to look at it before you come. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. I'm going to use that scripture to focus on what I learned during my sabbatical and give you some ideas on what I'm still working on. So, and I'm going to use that scripture for that. Today we're looking at Psalm 24, though, about lift up the gates, open the doors. Every one of you has a door into the inner part of your life. Most people are not willing to open that door for almost anybody. Most people have closed that door because there are things in there they don't want other people to see. They don't want other people to experience some of the things that they keep behind those closed doors. They're afraid to share them, they're afraid to open up. And one of the things about this psalm is it talks about a need to lift up the gates and to open the doors. The first thing I want you to know from Psalm 24, and by the way, if you're ever unsure of what you want to pray about, you know there's something that's kind of right there, but you're not sure how to focus it into words and how to say something to God, I would encourage you to open the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, you can find every emotion that humans are able to have. The good, the bad, the indifferent, it's all there, every bit of it. I can point you to Psalms that are extremely angry. Just as I can point you to Psalms that are extremely excited about having a relationship with God. They're all there. And sometimes it's quite valuable to use them as our prayers and just spend time there. What I'm currently doing now for my devotional time is normally in the morning, I'm reading at least two Psalms. Sometimes it's only one because some of the Psalms are longer. And then the evening, another two Psalms. And oftentimes, if I have an opportunity and I'm not too sleepy, at least a Psalm or two before I go to bed. And that has enlivened my prayer life in some dynamic ways because it opens a ways for me to see something. And this psalm, the very first thing it helps me to see is that God created and owns everything on earth. God created and owns everything on earth. If you were here last week, you know I talked a little bit about this. in last week's sermon. All of your possessions will one day be somebody else's possessions. You can't stop that from happening. One day, all of your possessions will be somebody else's. You see, it all really belongs to God. And God has given it to us to be good stewards of it and to use it in a way that betters the kingdom of God, not for our own personal use. When we use those things for our own personal use, we're not acknowledging that God owns them. It's all about building the kingdom. It's all about understanding that God created them, God owns them, and God always will. The second thing that I learn as I look at this psalm, the psalmist asks these questions. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The psalmist asks these questions, and then the psalmist answers them and says that only those with a pure heart and clean hands can approach God. Only those with a pure heart and clean hands can approach God. Nobody else. Now here's the, I guess I'm going to say sad truth. You will never, on your own, be able to have a pure heart. Never. You can't do it. You will never be able to clean your hands. Okay, yes, you can go to the bathroom, you can wash your hands, but you understand what I'm talking about. You understand what the scripture is talking about. There is always going to be something in your heart that thinks wrong, that wants to do wrong. Now, sometimes we've learned how to master over those things so that, yes, it's a moment, it's a speed bump, it's a little dip in the road, and on I go, and it's behind me. But those things are always going to be there. They're always going to be there. You cannot clean those things out of your life on your own. It's not possible. So if only those who have a pure heart and clean hands can approach God, we're all lost. Every one of us is lost. And sometimes I think we need to remember that. One of the things I've learned over the past 3 months from Teresa of Avila and her book, Way of Perfection, is without humility, you can't really do prayers. You've got to be humble and know that you're coming to God because you can't do it. You've got to recognize that in your strength and in your power, folks, I tried twice in my life to save myself. I tried with all get out. If I do everything right and I get everything right, and if I've got everything in order and I do tons of good things, my heart will be pure and my hands will be clean. Until the person cuts me off on the interstate. Right? Tell me the truth. Something simple as that. Or you make a phone call and you're on hold for 2 hours. And they come online and they tell you, yes, you're right, we can't do that for you. How does that make you feel? Not very good about the person on the other end of the phone, does it? Even though they're doing what they can do. Folks, there's always going to be something there. Because we've got to remember this. We can only be pure and clean through what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's the only way. There is no other way. What was the scripture that Chris read as he shared the story today? It comes from John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus says to Thomas, when Thomas says, "We don't know where you're going." What does Jesus say? "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." How do we have a relationship with God? Only through what Jesus Christ has done for us. He died on the cross for our sins. He made it possible that now it's not our own righteousness, but it's the very righteousness of Jesus Christ that God can put upon us as though we were wearing clothing of righteousness from Jesus that allows us to be pure in heart and of clean hands. That's the only way. There is no other way. If there was another way, why did Jesus Christ have to come and die on the cross? Take some time to think about that. I believe that as a fact. It happened. I know it happened. There's documented evidence that it happened. There's evidence that the tomb is empty because God raised him from the dead. And one day I too, because I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, will have a bodily resurrection to live for all eternity. It is going to happen if you believe in Jesus Christ. You can't do it on your own. I don't care how many good and right things you do, you can't do it on your own. It cannot be done. We have to believe in what Jesus Christ did for us. I now have two paintings in my what I call staff lounge at home. Believe it or not, the room in my house, I found a wonderful sign that when I was out antiquing. Absolutely wonderful sign. It says staff lounge. I put it on the door of my room at home. That's where the staff goes and meets together, both the cat and I. Now in my staff lounge, I have two pictures of Jesus on the cross that I can sit and look at each morning as I have my prayer time. He died on the cross for me. He died on the cross for you. I know as Baptists, sometimes we don't like that image. We like the image of the cross, but not of Jesus on the cross. But sometimes I think we need to be remembered. And we need to be reminded that Jesus did hang on the cross and die a horrible death so that I could have a relationship with God, so that I could be pure in heart and have clean hands and be able to approach God. That's the only way. There is no other way. I'm convinced of that. A lot of people in our world are not convinced of that, but I am. There is no other way. The psalm goes on to tell us that if we're willing to accept what Jesus Christ has done for us, if we're willing to take that on and wear the righteousness of Jesus Christ because God is willing to place it upon us, we will receive blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Those who walk the holy journey God has for them will experience blessings from God. Why do I sometimes work as hard as I do to help you understand Scripture, to help you see the steps you need to take? Because I don't want you to miss out on the blessings that God has for you if you will walk the holy journey that God has for you. Not the journey you picked for yourself, but the journey that God has for you. God only has the best journey in mind for you. That's all God can pick for you. God doesn't pick second best or third best. Even if you think you're second best or third best, God doesn't pick that for you. God picks the very best. And gosh, I would hate for you to miss out on blessings. 25 years of ministry, we don't have time for me to list all the blessings that I could tell you. The last 3 months of blessings, you don't have time for me to list that even. Incredible. They're there. If you're walking the holy journey that God has for you, not your own journey, not your own agenda, the journey that God has for you. And I want to help you find that journey if you don't know where that journey is. Because it's incredible. Are there hard times still? Yep. Are there difficult times when you think you're on the wrong path? Yep. But are there incredible blessings that you would not see anywhere else? Oh, yes. Incredible. Those who walk the holy journey God has for them will experience blessings from God. So I want to encourage you today to do what this psalm asked you to do. Lift up your head. Allow God to come deeper into your life. Lift up your head. I have met people that, oh, woe is me. Oh, I'll never make it. Oh, it's not going to happen. Oh, everything bad happens to me. You know what I call those people? Eeyore Christians. I love the stories of Winnie the Pooh. Loved reading them to my kids. But doggone it, somebody needs to get a hold of Eeyore. Because he just walks around, oh, woe is me. Pooh, I lost my tail. Have you seen it? And I know some Christians that are living that way. Folks, look up. God has blessings for you. God has wonderful things for you. Look up. Open your life. Let God come in deeper. Let God show you. Let God be there. Let God speak to you. Open up. I spent the last 3 months really just sitting with God and saying, where do I need to open up? And part of what God showed me, I'm going to share with you this afternoon. So I encourage you to be there so you could hear it. Because it's instrumental to where I'm going to walk from here on out. And now I'm working on what's a greatly, a little bit more difficult thing than I thought it was going to be. I'm writing a rule of life for myself. What are my highest priorities and what am I going to put there and what needs to go? Because it's all about my relationship with God. It's all about lifting up the gates and opening the doors. So I ask you, what action will you take to lift up your head and open your life to God? What action will you take? I'm not asking you to analyze your life and say, well, these are the things, da, 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 da. I'm asking you to look at your life, examine your life, and what's the very next action you must take to lift up your head and to open your life to God. No matter how long you've been walking with God, what's the next action you need to take? And I'm going to stop right there because I'm almost getting ready to preach what I'm going to do this afternoon. Because it follows right on the tail of this. What action are you going to take? Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, this life is difficult. And sometimes, Lord, we want nothing more than to figure it all out ourselves and say, I got it. There's something about being American that pushes us in that direction. Help us, Lord, that we might be truthful to you and to ourselves, that we need to open the gate and that we need to open the door and do some things that allows you deeper access to our lives. It may be a scary thing, but Lord, I know that in mind, you have only the very best for each one of us. That's what you want. And when I realize that and understand that you love me so deeply and only want the best for my life, why would I not open my whole life, throw open every door, and hide nothing? Why would I not do that? Lord, show me the next door I need to open. Show me, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.